Hello, everybody. Welcome to Self Help Show. This is Gina, and I'm your host. You know, I've always promised I'm going to be experts on the show. Today, I have an amazing guest. I would like to welcome Dr. Avam. He's a clinical psychologist. He's also an author of 4 books, including one of the most recent one called Hidden in Plain Sight, How Man's Fears of Women Shape Your Intimate Relationship. So today we are going to talk about all of that. And I'm really, really excited. And I also want to give it over to him so he can introduce himself more in depth, because I know, you know, you have a PhD, you also have that experience. So I also want you to share it with the guests. So over to you, Doc.
It's good to meet you. Good to be on your show. Thanks for the invitation. I'm a psychologist and an author and a teacher and a husband and a father and, you know, a lot of other things. And I got interested in this topic about 15 or 20 years ago when it became clear to me that a lot of the men I was working with are afraid of their partners, their female partners. And so I started talking with men about it and had it confirmed again and again and again, to the point where really every heterosexual guy that I talk to acknowledge that that's true for him. And so the book really comes out of the conversations with those men. What I've learned about this comes out of those conversations with those men.
That's quite interesting. So you are telling me that men are afraid of women, or their fears shape the intimate relationship. Or can we just talk about relationships in general?
Sure. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, so like men fear women. Is that like a thing?
Yes, it is. This is the reaction that women have. When I say that to men, they first get defensive because I'm suggesting that they're afraid of women, which is they don't like. But literally within 60 seconds, you can see them sort of look and go, huh, that's an interesting idea. And then we start unpacking that. But with women, it's much more often the reaction you had, like, what is this crazy person saying? That can't be true. Because men are so dominant in the world, in the outside world, and have, you know, we earn more, we have positions of power and influence and privilege. It seems crazy, but I can give you an example that will help you understand and your listeners understand. If a guy's at work and his buddies come up to him and they say, hey, we're going to the bar after work. We're going to watch the basketball game. Would you like to join us? Do you know the first thought that goes through most men's minds in that moment?
What?
I better check with my wife. She might not like that. Before he even stops to think about whether or not. Now, what's sad about that is that on the wife's end, she's not browbeating him or trying to control him. In fact, she's been saying to him, why don't you go out with your friends more? Yet exactly. He's still afraid of displeasing her. And that comes first for him before he even has a chance to figure out whether he wants to go to the game. He's worried about whether she'll be unhappy. Does that make more sense?
It does. And I think from that perspective, I agree with you, because I've worked in sales, I've worked in marketing, telesales for the most part of it. And when you speak to a male customer, I was kind of selling insurance over the phone. He, majority of them, if not 100% of them, they would all say, I have to speak to my wife first. Even if he wants the package and he's sold and he's ready to do everything, but there's that last minute glitch that comes in where he's like, oh, no, but I have to speak to my wife. I can't just make this decision. And
yeah, same thing. Absolutely the same thing. And so that has a lot to do with how relationships between men and women go. And the reason that the book is called Hidden in Plain Sight is that even though this is going on in pretty much all heterosexual relationships, it's invisible. So this is the first time you've thought about this. This is the first time you've considered. So every interaction you've had with a romantic partner, this has been going on unknown to you. And so that's why things seem so confusing and don't make sense, because there's stuff going on that's hidden. Now, once you have this idea, you're not going to be able to stop thinking about it. See, now that you have this idea, every time you talk to a man, you're going to be looking for it and you're going to find it.
Dr. Avam, I don't know if you've realized what you've done, because you telling me this.
Have I done?
It's almost like I was the scared one the whole time, knowing that, okay, the guy's actually scared. It's like, oh, okay.
it really does change everything. And for women, what it really changes is it changes often them from a position of feeling critical and disappointed in their partner to feeling more empathic. Oh, he's behaving the way he's behaving because he's scared. Mm. It makes more sense to me now. I thought he was just being a jerk, but now I have a little more compassion and empathy for him.
Aww.
We hope. We hope that's how it goes.
I'm feeling really soft and sad and warmy, fuzzy feeling, but also I can't help just laugh about it because it's so funny.
I think both are true. And I think that warm and tender feeling you have, you can see how that would help things in a relationship. If you've been in conflict with a man and you get a little more empathic understanding of what's going on for him, much to my surprise, for example, I write for Psychology Today. Yeah. More women read my articles than men. Not by a lot, but like 54, 46, something like that. Slightly more women read the articles than men, even though I'm mostly writing about men.
Interesting. So since you've written about men's fears in like in intimate relationship or their fears, how they affect the intimacy, what are some of the most surprising or counterintuitive fears that you see men carry?
One of the obvious ones is men are afraid of being controlled by women. I think that's something that most women understand. And the way you know that's true is how much men insist they're not being controlled by women.
True.
So the original title for the book, which the publisher wisely rejected, is I wanted to call the book Pussy Whipped, because it's fascinating to me. Because think about it. The worst thing one man can say to another man is that he's pussy whipped, which means he's saying you're controlled by a woman. Or if you dig a little deeper, you're controlled by your need of a woman. And that is an insult from one man to another. So why are they so hypersensitive about, because they're afraid of being controlled by women?
Because they know.
Yeah. Shakespeare brilliantly said, the lady doth protest too much, methinks. So, you know, in my world, the more people complain about something, you know, more we know they're worried about it. So men complain a lot about being controlled by women, and it's because they're scared. They're scared that they're being controlled by them. So that one's more obvious. Mm. The more surprising one, or some of the more surprising ones are, and this is one that's largely misunderstood, is that men are afraid of women's emotions. So. Yeah. Yes. What do you know about that? What were you going to say?
It's based off of my last attempt of a relationship. It didn't work out because to him, I came across as too emotionally strong.
Right.
And he just couldn't deal with my emotions.
Right. So I can tell you why. People misunderstand that and think that men, so what men do in that situation is they try to bring the emotional temperature of the relationship down. Stop being so emotional. Be rational. Make sense. Mm. And women experience that as an attempt to control them. But what's really going on is that the man is getting flooded with his feelings. So emotions are contagious. If you're around somebody who's feeling anxious, you start to feel anxious. If you're around someone who's feeling sad, you start to feel sad. So when you get emotional, your partner was getting more emotional and didn't feel comfortable with his own feelings. And so he tries to bring the emotional temperature down, not to control you, but to take care of himself. He doesn't know how to soothe his own feelings. So the only way he knows is to turn down the volume.
It makes a lot of sense now because I never used to understand it. Oh my goodness.
It does make sense. Like I said, I should give a warning at the start of the show. Once you see this, you can't unsee it.
True. That is so true. And now I'm kind of torn in between making this about me and just understanding my own issues and vice versa, the topic.
Your listeners will get a lot from hearing you talk about it. I think that's fine.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Okay, I'm going to drop bits and pieces of it. So I also want to know, like, how do these fears show up in the day-to-day relationships, either through communication breakdowns, emotional withdrawals, avoidance, especially avoidance, such a big one. How would I kind of, because there's almost like a thin line between trying to show the partner that, hey, this is what you're doing versus them having the self-awareness of what they're doing.
Yes.
So how help me?
So you named exactly the ways it shows up. And it mostly shows up in men withdrawing, in men pulling back. And unfortunately, that's the way conflict often goes in straight relationships. So the woman will make an approach to the man that in her mind is an attempt to connect. So for example, she might say to her boyfriend or partner, John and Karen, they have a date night every week. That just sounds so great. We don't go out very often. What about if we had a date night once a week? She's thinking that's an overture to connect, right? He hears it as criticism. Because he's been raised to believe that he's in charge and he's responsible. And so she's saying, there's something wrong with our relationship. She's saying, it's your fault. You don't ask me out enough. So he gets defensive and withdraws. And she's like, I don't understand. I just offered to go out on a date with you. Why are you defensive? And then they're off to the races. So the more he withdraws, the more she pursues. The more she pursues, the more he withdraws. And they get farther and farther and farther apart. And they have no idea what the hell just happened. They're kind of, the next day they're like, what were we fighting about? I don't even know. That's what they were fighting about.
Oh my God. So what's the solution?
You need to send this book to your former boyfriend and then see what he did.
I mean, we don't even talk anymore. It's just gotten cold, and our days, right? We kind of don't break up. You just start ignoring each other, and then eventually you block each other, and that's it. So
send him the book. See what he says. We're sending him this show.
Yeah, I'm sure he's listening, so he will get the message. Okay. I want to talk about external behaviors from men because, like you said, their response to us maybe expressing ourselves or pursuing a discussion, and they completely misunderstand it. They have that avoidance. So for us women, how can we kind of avoid that or maybe fix it when we kind of see it coming? Is there like a way?
There is. It's first of all, it's actually, the good news is it's very simple and you already know how to do it.
Okay.
Here's how I know you already know how to do it. It's just like sex. When people have sex, they don't get aroused and excited at exactly the same rate. That's not possible. Mm-hmm. So they learn how to pay attention to each other and to slow down or go faster in response to where their partner is. They learn how to pace things. So if you're not paying attention to your partner, you're going to have lousy sex because you're not paying attention and you're just off on your own pleasure, not paying any attention to your partner. But if each person is paying attention, so sex goes best when I'm paying attention to my needs and your needs, and you're paying attention to your needs and my needs. If I'm just paying attention to my needs, it doesn't go well. If I'm just paying attention to your needs and not my needs, it doesn't go well. So if the couple is sexually active, they already know how to do this. So it's just the same thing emotionally. I can't tell you how many times I'm working with a couple and they're like this. They're not looking at each other. I'm like, how can you know how it's going? Because you and I are talking, we're looking at each other, we're making adjustments all the time without even thinking about it. I see a little smile on your face. Oh, she likes this. I'll keep doing this. We do it without even noticing it. But if you're not looking, you can't tell. It's like giving a lecture to an audience and you can't see the audience. So they just need to learn the same skills they've already learned and hopefully have already learned in their sexual relationship, and take those over to the emotional. So for women, it's learning how to tell when their partner is getting scared. And when they are, just like in sex, slow down.
Again, I'm laughing because my own experience, I'm always accelerating. So if you're running, I'm accelerating.
And then he just pulled further away. Right. Yeah, I know that. There's the couple who do the most research on couples therapy, the Gottmans, John Gottman and his wife. And they have actually figured out that they can predict how an argument's going to go in the first 3 minutes. They can watch couples argue, and the first 3 minutes, they can tell you, this is going to go well, this is not going to go. And it mostly has to do with pacing. If they're paying attention to each other and being responsive to each other, it's going to go well. If they're just talking to hear themselves talk and not paying attention to their partner, you can tell in the first few minutes, it's not going to go well.
Yeah.
So slowing down and paying attention, that's really, it's simple.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for that. I'll remember that in my next relationship, whatever that is.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, nowadays, our society, I mean, the social media, there's influencers. So now it's like intense. There's even this article that came out called "Is Having a Boyfriend Embarrassing Now?" I don't know if you know about it.
Wow, no.
Yeah, guess where it came from? Which publication?
No idea.
Vogue.
Really? Huh.
Yes. So it's already just changing and shaping the society. Like a lot more women are kind of hiding their relationships. They don't want people to know. If they're posting photos, they're like showing just the hands. They're not showing the face. It's almost like, wow. I don't want people to know. I'm scared, or, you know, that kind of thing. And then there's the single movements where it's like single women empowered.
Yeah.
We are kind of really tired. Like, we're exhausted. There's so many single, beautiful, smart women.
Absolutely.
And we know that good men exist. But
I'm glad you know that.
Yeah, I know. I know they exist. I know they do. But for us to go through kissing every frog until we get to the prince, we're just tired. Like, we're not going to kiss anyone anymore.
Okay, now I'm going to irritate you because you're only talking about half the story. And I'm going to talk about the other half and you're not going to like it. You're
okay.
Not just kissing frogs. You're yelling and blaming and criticizing frogs. You're turning men into frogs by not being sensitive, by not paying attention, by continuing to escalate when your partner's already left, by not paying attention and noticing that he's left and that you need to talk differently because the way you're talking isn't working. You're doing it right now with me. You're paying attention to me. We're having a conversation. We're paying attention respectfully to each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know how to do it. You're doing it. That's what couples do. And mostly, not all the time, but mostly they do know how to do it. They just get caught up in the emotions and they forget how to be a good listener and a good conversation partner.
I agree. I agree with that. This is really painful from my side of the stick. But again, we cannot forget that these guys, maybe somebody turned them into a frog, right?
Exactly.
But instead of them realizing they've become a frog, they just want to sit down and play video games and only want to conversate with you on the phone, but avoid meeting you in real life and talking about whatever it is that you misunderstood each other over the phone. So it's like, how am I going to help myself if you don't even want to help yourself? Like, how are we going to, like, how?
So let me tell you something that will surprise you. I have been running psychotherapy groups for over 55 years, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And about 20 years ago, I started running groups with just men. Up till then, I had just only done groups with men and women together. And in groups with men and women together, men behave exactly the way you said. They wait for the women to take the lead. They hang back. They're not very vulnerable and open. And gradually, they sort of catch up to the women. Here's the surprising part. When I started running groups with just men, men are not like that with just men. Men are open, vulnerable. I have groups with men where they look each other in the eye and say, I love you, man to man. Okay? So that's what you're missing. They're not frogs. They're just like you. They're no different than you. They're just terrifying. And so what you're seeing is a frog, but it ain't a frog.
My God, this conversation, I was not prepared.
I warned you. I warned you. These are ideas that change people's lives. They really are.
That, you know what? They have their bromance. We call it bromance because they would spend time with their boys. They would travel with their boys. They would meet up with the boys, speak to their boys, sleep over with their boys, spend time with their boys. But all of a sudden, when a female shows up, everything changes. The temperature changes. They move. Like,
that's right.
Almost like this, like there's no more smiles. There's no more emotion. There's just like a brick wall. Like,
which is what people do when they're scared. Think about it, right? Isn't that what people do when they're scared?
I suppose you're right. People
clamp down. When you're scared, you tighten up. You close in.
Oh my God.
I'm
feeling dizzy.
I'll tell you something else that will surprise you, but is important to know. Up until grade school, So 5, 6. Boys' friendships with other boys are as intimate and close and important to them as girls' friendships are with other girls. So men are just as interested in intimacy as women are and just as capable, but they are socialized to not be interested. And so there's a conflict in most men between who they are and who they're told they need to be.
Right.
And that conflict is what runs most men's lives.
Thank you for saying that. You actually leading me to something that I needed to discuss, which is the role of societal and cultural masculinity.
Yes.
That script, wherever it came from, it kind of plays a very big role in shaping and masking these fears.
Yes.
So where is the plug? Where is the socket? Where can I pull out that script?
Well, the word isn't quite as good here. It comes from the patriarchy. It comes from the culture we all live in. But what people don't understand, there's a great quote from Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King said, "Segregation scars the soul of the perpetrator as much as the victim," which is a power thought. And what he's saying is, in any system where one person is being abused or mistreated or one down, the person on top is suffering just as much. We all think, well, I'd rather be on top, but they're suffering in men just because they're privileged and powerful. It keeps them from being intimate. It keeps them from being tender. It keeps them from being warm, close with other. The cost is terrible for men. The cost of that power. So there's a researcher who actually wrote the foreword for my book, whose name, of course, just went right out of my mind, but I'll think of it in a moment. He studied what he called gender role conflict. Gender role conflict is the difference between who a man feels he is and who society tells him he should be. Mm-hmm. So if you study that and you measure the distance between who you are and who you think you should be, the greater that distance is correlated with things like depression, anxiety, heart attack, physical illness, all kinds of bad things. So the more conflict, the more internal conflict in men about not being the kind of man they think they're supposed to be, the less happy and the more sick they are. They actually literally, and I think, you know, men live 7 years less than women. I think that has a lot to do with it. I think we're losing.
Yeah.
Here's an interesting statistic. If you take that 7 years, if every man lived as long as women live, you would save more years of life than curing cancer. That's how important it is.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a big deal. How many men do you know that you think are really happy? Now, if I said women, you'd immediately think of seven of your friends.
Yeah.
You smile, but you had to stop and think. You didn't immediately think of a man you know who's happy.
I think the gay men are happy.
That may be because they're less bound by the patriarchy. They're less bound by the norms of traditional masculinity. That's a very interesting idea.
Yeah. My gosh. So what now? How can women and couples work together to create an environment where these fears can safely be expressed and then transformed?
Well, I think once they have this idea, that alone helps a lot. Once women become aware of what these fears are and men become aware of that by itself helps a great deal. The other thing that needs to happen is something that women can't do anything about. And that is men need to start talking to other men. Because when men talk to other men, they become more emotionally fluent. They become more comfortable with their emotions. We had a great thing. So my groups are now all virtual on like this. Mm. You know, we're all looking at screens because I have people in, you know, literally Kenya and Texas and, you know, all over the place. So we had an example where a man was very emotional and he was talking about something about his relationship. And I thought to myself, I asked him, I said, "Have you talked to your wife about this?" I said, "No, I'm too scared to talk to her about it." I said, "Why don't you go?" We were about halfway through the group. So why don't you go talk to her right now? While you're up for it and excited and ready to go, why don't you go talk to her right now and then come back and tell us how it goes? So he went and he found his wife and he told her and he came and he was crying when he came to his wife and they had a wonderful conversation. And then he came back to the group and told us about it. So men need the help of other men to get to a place where they're ready to talk to their partners. And there's a chapter in the book for men about how to form a book group and find other men who are interested in having these conversations.
That's really interesting. I think I did not have any expectations of how this discussion will go. And from the beginning to where it is now, it's just been a mind-blowing conversation. And you know, the crazy thing is we are even over time and time just disappeared.
Right.
So I wanted to just check in with you, like in your views, what is the one key shift that men can make in order to move from that fear to connection? Because I know you explained this example of the groups that you have, but is there something that, for example, a man is listening to now and they're also having this realization and they have the acceptance and they also are open to make a difference? What is the one key shift that they can make?
I think the one most important thing that men can do, and there's, again, there's a chapter that'll walk you through it, but is to find other men who are interested in being more open, being more vulnerable, being more fully human, and start there. Get a group of guys together who want to get together every couple weeks or once a month and talk and work on these issues. And I think that's the starting place for most guys.
I love that. Thank you for sharing. Then I wanna throw a crazy one. I know this might trigger a lot of things.
Okay.
This culture we're in right now, I'm a very positive oriented person, and I believe in, you know, a brighter future and a safer environment and a happy home and good connections and all the good things. However, we cannot ignore and turn a blind eye on things like OnlyFans and how that kind of the world has just become a thing. It's equally affecting the both ends of the spectrum. Like you said, the suffering and the victim, like the one causing the pain and the victim, everybody is suffering. So what's kind of your take? How do you see this whole thing? And towards the next 5 to 10 years, do you feel like men will break free from that and women will be liberated from that? Because I feel like the both sides of the both ends, nobody's free. The consumer and the feeder.
That's exactly right. Yes, I hope so. I have reason to think that may happen. So it's kind of like most of the world is splitting into haves and have-nots. And for men, there's a large group of men who are rejecting traditional masculinity and trying to expand and become bigger people. And I know this because when I go to visit my son, who has 3 children, and we get together in his community, when one of the children starts fussing, it's the dads who get up to check on the kid. That never happened when I was raising my kids. When I was raising my kids, I took my son, who was my firstborn, into a McDonald's bathroom, and there was a changing table, and I burst into tears because I'd been changing his diaper in restaurant bathrooms, and I'd never seen a change. Women's room had changing tables, but nobody thought a man would change a diaper, so they didn't put changing tables. I had to change his diaper on nasty bathroom sinks. That was a profound change. Watching my son be a father is a profound change. Unfortunately, you know, because the two ends are moving away from the middle, we're getting farther and farther apart. On the other side, you have the incels and the manosphere and all these crazy right-wing men's rights groups who are, we've lost them. You know, these are the people who are shooting up schools. These are the people who are blowing up buildings. We have failed them completely and lost them. And so we have to do better at paying attention to our young men and seeing when they are hurting and seeing when in their distress. You know, these kids commit these crimes and then you go back and you look at their social media and you're like, God, he was trying to tell everybody he wasn't okay. But of course, it's social media, so nobody's paying attention.
Mm, that was very deep. You are right. I think we all need to be responsible and watch over our brothers, watch over our cousins, watch over our friends, extended family, and just check in on them. Because I think with social media now, it all depends who has the biggest budget, you know?
Yeah.
Anyone with the biggest budget pushes their narrative. So OnlyFans have such a bigger budget and they want to have more consumers, they know exactly where to target these young men and these young women.
And they're very vulnerable.
they are very vulnerable, especially with the driving factor of money. You're making this more the government and the other systems have failed people. So it's almost like that's the easy way out, but in actual fact, it's a trap. Yeah. You know, so I think we could talk about this for like another hour again, but yeah. I just want to say thank you for this conversation. I really, really had a good time. And I think I would like to invite you to come back again, maybe in a month or two.
Sure.
Then we can have a different topic. So usually,
the first podcast I've done in Abu Dhabi. So, you know, it's a first for me. So, Dubai.
Next.
Dubai. Right. Dubai.
It's plus or minus the same things.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Awesome. So there's this thing that I do with all the guests before we close. I always ask, is there something that it's almost like a interesting insight, something that only you know that nobody else knows? Maybe it's like something you've been keeping to yourself, something you read recently, something you discovered or you saw that you want to share with us, and you'll be saying it for the very first time, so nobody else knows it. It's coming out here for the first time.
There isn't anything like that, because I'm a speaker and a teacher. And so whatever I know, I write about or I teach or I speak about. But the most important thing that I would want people to hear that you and I talked about today is for women to understand that men are more like you than not like you. That although they seem like alien creatures to you, they have the same needs for closeness that you do.
Okay, I was going to ask, are you sure?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Okay. I would take your word for it.
Okay. Well, the next time you're with a man on a date or whatever, try believing that and see if he doesn't behave different.
Okay. I'll try that.
Okay. I'll look forward to hearing how it goes.
Whenever that is. I think I'm kind of numb at this point.
We'll see what this conversation does for you.
Yeah, I kind of believe in the traditional way of arranged marriages now, though it's a completely different subject. Mm-hmm. And if I were to maybe exist in that time, I would say, no, I don't want to do this. This is crazy. However, whoever that came up with that knew what they were doing in a way.
Well, it's not as different as you think. It's not that different. I'll tell you why it's not that different. People who fall in love are falling in love with an illusion. They don't really know that person. They're in love with who they think that person is or who they hope that person is. So even people who fall in love still have to learn how to really love each other the same way in arranged marriage. So in the end, it's the same thing.
Exactly. And I think I was saying this the other time I had this discussion with my girls. We were all just agreeing, like, you know what? I think they knew what they were doing, because either you meet on a date, you meet in a shop, you meet online, you still need to know who this person is. So if it's an arranged marriage, there's some sort of referral and a track record of who this person is and who they are, and then you can kind of make it work, you know?
Yeah.
But now it's just like a lot of us single women, and we just like so many of us now, like so many. I've never seen so many single women like this time. Like it's a lot. So yeah, I can't say I'm complaining though.
We'll talk more about that in our next conversation.
Perfect. That sounds like a plan. So thank you so much, Dr. Abram.
You're very welcome.
I think I want to know where people can find you, if they want to follow you, if they want to interact. Sure.
You can, best place to find me is my website, which is avramweisphd.com. You'll find a mailing list there. You can sign up for the mailing list there. You'll see all the articles I've published on Psychology Today. You can order the book there. Find everything you need there.
Okay, fantastic. Well, there you have a guess. I think you enjoyed the show as much as I did.
I did.
Do share it with your friends and share it with anybody else that you feel like needs to listen to this. And yeah, that's it for me. So have a good one.